Is there anyone that would like to volunteer to do the prayer this morning? Geraldine, is that a yes from you?
Oh, thank you.
Our Father, we thank you for this day, for this opportunity to come together, and experience the democracy of our country. Father, be with the decisions that are made today. May they be acceptable in your sight. Father, watch over our service and law enforcement, our first responders. Help them do the job that they are trained to do, and if it be your will, keep them out of harm's way. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. If you'll join me in our pledges to our United States and Texas flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Honor
the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to the Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Record reflect that all members of court are present today, and commissioners would entertain a motion for approval of our commissioners' court agenda.
Move.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Proclamations and resolutions. National Poetry Month. There's someone here to present that. Yes, sir. Step forward, please.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good morning.
Good morning.
First, I would like to again express the appreciation of the Lone Star College English Department Writers and Performance Committee and the Montgomery County Literary Arts Council for the court approving the recommendation of my designation of County Poet Laureate in 2005. The designation allowed me to act as an ambassador not only for literary arts in schools and venues in the Conroe and Houston areas. It allowed me to act as an ambassador for our community over the entire state of Texas. It's very heartening this morning that you have again today approved the college and council's nomination of a brilliant lady of letters and a veteran teacher and librarian in our community to continue this mission, a mission that encourages reading and writing in our young and older citizens at a time when it is important, as important as it ever has been. William Carlos Williams famously wrote, "You can't get the news from poems, but people live and die miserably for lack of what is found there." So with that, I'll read the proclamation for Ms. Dee Dee Fox. Whereas Dee Dee Fox, a native Texan, attended the University of the Americas in Mexico City and graduated with a BA in English from Washington State University in St. Louis and a Master's in Education and Supervision from Stephen F. Austin University, and continues her writing education with Imprint Houston and Highlights Foundation workshops. Whereas Dee Dee Fox has published in many national journals and magazines, including Bearing the Mass, Southwestern Persona Poems, Diverse City, The Imagist, Far Out, Poems of the 60s, Houston Poetry Fest, Poetica, Soul, A Summer's Poems, Swirl, Texas Poetry Calendar, and Untamable City, Poems on the Nature of Houston. Whereas Dee Dee Fox's books of poetry were lauded by 2008 and 2011 Texas Poet Laureates Larry Thomas and David Parsons, and she has served as a teacher and librarian with Houston Writers in the Schools, as an artist in residence at the Bryan Federal Prison Camp for Women. And whereas Dee Dee Fox's poem Chapultepec Park won the 2008 Christina Sergovic Award at the Austin International Poetry Fest, and she has twice been a juried poet at the Houston Poetry Fest, and Poetica Press published Confessions of a Jewish Texan in 2013, and Inkbrush Press introduced Postcards in 2014. And whereas Dee Dee Fox has been invited to appear and read in distinguished venues such as Bay Area Writers Conference, Sam Houston Area Writers Council, Greater Houston Reading Council, Texas Library Association Conference, Sam Houston State University Young Adult Readers Conference, JCC Book Festival, and many others. And whereas D.D. Fox over the last decade has served and helped guide the Montgomery County Literary Arts Council Writers and Performance Series, bringing many of the most distinguished authors to our county for free readings and lectures, including U.S. Poet Laureates, Texas Poet Laureates, and several National Book Award and Pulitzer Prize winners. Whereas D.D. Fox has heightened the literary awareness of the Montgomery County community by representing Montgomery County Literary Arts Council on the Greater Conroe Arts Alliance, promoting, publicizing, and creating gala social events involving the participation of numerous readers and public private school students and teachers to honor the birthdays of American poets Emily Dickinson and Walt Whitman. And whereas D.D. Fox has tirelessly, continuously worked to advance Montgomery County's awareness and appreciation of a variety of literary genres by promoting public performances of published writers, both notable and aspiring, and being a 2005 Monty Pursuit of Excellence Awards recipient, all the while simultaneously, humbly, and quietly pursuing and accomplishing her own distinguished writing career. Therefore, let it now be resolved that the Montgomery County Judge and Commissioner's Court does hereby declare D.D. Fox Poet Laureate of Montgomery County, holding the honor from 2017 to 2022, as witnessed by the signatures hereto affixed by order to the court on this. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Move. We need.
We have a motion.
Move.
Second. Motion and a second. Fox, you've been pretty busy. I don't know how you have time to take this on, but we appreciate the fact that you will. So, congratulations. We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Congratulations. Next, we have a proclamation for the National Corrections Officers and Employees Week in Montgomery County. Sir, how are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, sir.
We're celebrating by doing a little picnic fun, you know, some team building that we're doing with our detention staff. So we're going to be at McDade Park during the week of April 30th through May 6th. So we'll have barbecue. We'll be doing volleyball. So that's our largest team at the sheriff's office. So this is the second time we've done this. So it's a good opportunity. So if y'all would like to come out, you're certainly invited. The staff would certainly love to see you. Our proclamation reads for National Correctional Officers and Employees Week in Montgomery County. Whereas on May 5th, 1984, President Ronald Reagan enacted Proclamation 5187, which declared the first week of May as National Correctional Officers Week. Proclamation 5187 reads in part, historically, correctional officers have been viewed as guards occupying isolated and misunderstood positions in prisons and jails. In recent years, the duties of these officers have become increasingly complex and demanding. They are called upon to fill simultaneously custodial, supervisory, and counseling roles. The professionalism, dedication, and courage exhibited by the officers throughout the performance of these demanding and often conflicting roles deserve our utmost respect. The important work of correctional officers often does not receive the recognition from the public it deserves. It is appropriate that we honor the many contributions and accomplishments of these men and women who are a vital component in the field of corrections. Whereas National Correctional Officers and Employees Week became the official name for the first week in May, when in 1986, the U.S. Senate officially changed the name from National Correctional Officers Week. And whereas National Correctional Officers and Employees Week raises awareness of the duties, hazards, and sacrifices made by the correctional workers. And whereas National Correctional Officers and Employees Week in Montgomery County recognizes employees of Montgomery County Sheriff's Office Jail Division and the Montgomery County Juvenile Justice Center for their role in safeguarding the citizens of Montgomery County by providing safe, secure, and humane incarceration of offenders within their custody. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Commissioner's Court of Montgomery County, duly convened and acting in its capacity as the governing body of Montgomery County, does hereby proclaim the week of May 1st, 2017 through May 5th, 2017 as National Correctional Officers and Employees Week. All Montgomery County citizens are encouraged to pay tribute to the correctional workers of Montgomery County for the vital public service they provide passed and approved this 25th day of April 2017. I'd entertain a motion. Thank you.
Move. Second.
Any questions or comments, commissioners? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Congratulations, Sheriff. Good job.
All
right. Our Employee of the Month Award for April.
Good morning, Judge and Commissioners.
Good morning.
My name is Katie Miramon. I'm the Recognition Coordinator for the Montgomery County Employees Committee. And today we are going to be recognizing one of the Montgomery County employees for the month of April. And for that, if I could have the District Attorney, Brett Ligon, come up.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
The position where we had asked that the court to recognize for the Employee of the Month is a special position, but it was actually created by y'all a couple of years ago in response to the Michael Morton Act. The Michael Morton Act in 2014 was predicated on a gentleman who was unfairly convicted of a capital murder, was in a life in prison. Subsequent evidence revealed that he was innocent through DNA testing. And so Mr. Morton is an entirely sympathetic figure, and he's also a transformational figure within law enforcement. So in 2014, the Michael Morton Act came into play, and it requires the state to turn over all evidence that would, for either mitigation or punishment or evidence of innocence, exculpatory evidence. Now, as you know, the way that the county system is, we have Tyler Odyssey for the court system, and we have Spillman for law enforcement. And so if you took a sand dial and you point it like this, that's really what happens. And so there's actually one crux where all the information from law enforcement gets sent to, and it's DA intake. And so DA intake takes all the information from Spillman, and then oftentimes we have to take a technological step backwards. Sometimes we have to download that information so that we can then upload the information onto Tyler Odyssey to get it into format for the courts to use it. So there's a disconnect currently. Everybody's working to resolving it. Y'all probably remember me talking about that the friction point is actually at the DA's office in general, but specifically it's DA intake. So on top of those issues, we also have the Michael Morton Act. And the media clerks that I came to you for 2 years in a row, that's where the rubber hits the road. And so all the evidence, all the digital media, every video, audio, when people, whether it's scene videos or whether it's interrogations or what have you, this evidence is absolutely critical. It's absolutely critical to the state, it's absolutely critical to the defense, and to the judiciary. And we have one gentleman who's actually at the point of that. His name is Chris Carlton. Chris, come on up. Chris came to us a little bit less than a year ago when y'all created the position, and my goal in hiring Chris was to kind of see if we could get a guy who understood that there was a difference between just putting a brick on the wall and a guy who understood that the brick was building part of a cathedral. And Chris understands his role as part of Michael Morton. He can put a disc in a DVD player, or he can recognize that's perhaps somebody's innocence or perhaps somebody's guilt. And Chris does an excellent job for that. What I find consistently within people who work within law enforcement, whether police officers, firefighters, district attorneys, is they have a heart to serve and a heart for compassion. Chris and his wife, not only do they have children of their own, but they've also adopted two children as well. He's not only an outstanding member of the DA's office, he's even a better member of the community. I'm proud to award Chris Carlton the Employee of the Month Award. Can I get his wife? See how dedicated they are to the county. His wife works for the district clerk's office as well, and they've just had a baby in November?
October.
In October. Okay.
Wow.
Thank you, gentlemen. The creation of the position, it is absolutely critical. You know, the guilty need to be convicted and the innocent need to be set free.
Thank you, Chris. Okay, commissioners, under County Clerk, we need to approve our minutes from April 11th, 2017, as submitted.
Move.
Second.
Your comments, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Under item B, there's some corrections that need to be made to our October 25th Commissioner's Court minutes. They are as presented on the agenda, and would entertain a motion to make those corrections.
Move.
Any questions or comments, commissioners? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Commissioners, under consent, we have two items that need to be moved. On page 3, item 9A5 needs to be deferred. We can defer it completely. On page 4, item 9C7 and 9C8 need to be brought to the open agenda. Those are the only corrections or movements to the consent agenda that I'm aware of, unless y'all have something else.
Same ones I have. I'm good.
Page 3, 9A5 deferred. Page 4, 9C7 and 8 moved to open agenda. Other than that, I would entertain a motion on the balance of the consent agenda.
Move with those changes.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries. George, let's go ahead and take 9C7 and 8.
Yeah. Good morning, George. Commissioners.
Good morning.
On item C7 is just a correction in the wording. It should read vehicle and equipment repairs from each of the following vendors: Buckaloo Chevrolet LP, The Mountain Auto Country, Inc., and Golo Cars of Conroe, ILC, DBA Golo 4 of Conroe, for various departments under local government code 262.024A11 as a discretionary exemption.
Okay, so you're just removing the item that it's a single source?
Correct.
The line, okay.
That's the correct changes?
Yes.
Okay.
Move.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
On C8, approve and accept the pledges of securities and take all appropriate action to approve the contract for the proposal for application for clearinghouse, bank depository, and participating banks previously awarded in Commissioner's Court on April the 11th for Amegy Bank and Woodford Bank for various departments.
Okay, there was a...
Again.
You need to accept the
security
and the
item. Oh, okay.
That's what we're doing.
Okay. Second.
Motion to second.
And that wording is appropriate now.
Any other questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Any opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
All right, George, thank you. All right, under citizens. We now have citizens' comment. We now invite the public to address the court on any items on today's agenda. Please state your name and the topic of your comments before beginning your remarks. The public comment may not exceed 3 minutes. It is not the intention of the Montgomery County Commissioners Court to provide a public forum for the demeaning of any individual or group. Neither is it the intention of the court to allow members of the public to insult the honesty, integrity, or integrity of the court as a body, or members of the court individually. Accordingly, profane, insulting, or threatening language directed to the court or members of this court will not be tolerated. If this occurs, it may result in the cancellation of the speaker's remaining time and or removal from the commissioner's courtroom. We have two people that have signed up to speak today. First one is Mr. John Lowry.
Good morning.
Morning.
I'd just like to thank y'all for allowing me to speak this morning.
Absolutely.
My name is John Lowry. I'm going to talk about agenda item 14.
Okay.
I've been a resident of Montgomery County for the last 22 years, and I've worked at the airport for the last 17. With that item concerning the cleaning and remarking of the runways, I want to say thank you to the airport management for addressing this safety issue. As a pilot myself, I've seen how the algae and the grime and the rubber buildup has covered large areas of the runway, making it difficult to distinguish from the surrounding ground during landing. I've had professional crews, flight crews, tell me the same thing. The biggest difference is they're flying a lot faster aircraft, and it's extremely important for them to be able to distinguish the runway and the markings quickly. As well as this being a safety issue, it's also important to the sustained growth of the airport in general. Just showing that we're keeping on top of maintenance issues such as this, not only for our current users of the airport, but also for our future users as well. I've seen firsthand the growth of the airport in the last 17 years I've been there. From just a handful of businesses to over 20 now, with 5 government agencies involved as well on site. I know the airport has seen a 130% increase in fuel sales since 2009 when the control tower opened up, and has the airport fuel flow, which is over 1.4 million gallons last year, when we're on track to surpass that this year. So with that, the safety and the growth, it all kind of ties hand in hand with being able to maintain a good infrastructure and safe runways for our takeoff and landings. And with that, I appreciate the airport addressing that, and appreciate the time. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Blair. Appreciate it. Mr. Yalick.
Good morning. My name is Eric Yalick. I'm from Precinct 3. Today's Golden Hammer goes to all five of you. Y'all may have remembered that about 15 years ago, someone came in front of the Montgomery County Hospital District Board, opened up an umbrella, and yelled, "The sky is falling, the sky is falling." And the entire room, and in fact, Univision Television nationwide made fun of that person. Well, today, we've now heard that there is a grave public necessity for an emergency. You have declared that you must meet unusual and unforeseen conditions, and you have declared that reasonable and diligent thought and attention would not have resulted in your including the spending matters which you have already approved for the fiscal year 2017 budget in your consent agenda, which you declared was an emergency. And here are the emergencies that this community faces. We need to fund a park. We need to spend $3,600 on Civic Center janitorial supplies. We need to recognize some fees in the Memorial Library, and we have such an emergency in Precinct 1 that Commissioner Metter could not even take time to explain an expenditure of $29,817 and only had time to describe it as, quote, transfer from 612-7340 into 612-7573. Another emergency is we had to take $25,000 for books for the library from Precinct 2 culvert funds, which should have been used for drainage facilities. But it's all done in secret, and it costs the taxpayers tens of millions of dollars every time that you pass your consent agenda. And the problem that we face as a community is not only the expenditure, but the fact that you're passing resolutions, many of which are never even appended to the actual meeting agenda for the Commissioner's Court meeting. This policy of consent agendas, secrecy, and passing matters that you don't even know what you're voting on, quite frankly, is sick. You're hammering the citizens with your consent agenda. You're costing us many tens of millions of dollars, and I request that you please stop it.
Is there anyone who did not know that they needed to sign up to speak today but would like to address the court on an item on today's agenda? Yes, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, gentlemen, and thank you for your service. My name is Douglas Schwartz. I'm here to support the proposed surface cleaning and runway marking project at the airport. I've been a resident of the Houston area for 27 years, in Montgomery County for the past 10 years. A little about my background. I retired recently from a career in business aviation. I spent 25 years with a pilot training company and 16 years managing flight departments for AT&T Corporation, and most recently for ConocoPhillips. I'm a pilot with 5,000 hours flying business jets. And relevant to this particular issue, part of the portfolio I managed for ConocoPhillips included four airports, one of which was a municipal airport in Bartlesville, Oklahoma. So I'm very familiar with the issues around this kind of work. Two comments I'd like to make, one about the airport itself, and the second to safety related to the project. First is general aviation. Airports in America are important economic engines to the communities in which they're located. Data published recently by the Alliance for Aviation Across America indicates that this airport employs or supports the employment of over 350 people, with a payroll of approximately $14 million and a total economic impact for the community of $33 million. Statewide, that number of economic impact from general aviation exceeds $14 billion. The project also keeps the airport safe and attractive to tenants and to transient aircraft. From a technical perspective, the safety issues around surface conditions and markings are these. For ground operations, good surface contact enhances aircraft performance and directional control. Clear runway surfaces prevent damage to aircraft tires, propellers, structures, and engines. And well-marked surfaces improve positional awareness. In flight, similarly, surface conditions and runway markings help orient pilots, help judge distances, heights, and runway alignment. So a properly maintained airfield and its facilities is important to keeping the airport successful. Thanks for this opportunity to speak. I urge you to approve the project as proposed.
Thank you for your comments. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
Okay, is there anyone else that would like to address the court? Mr. O'Sullivan.
Bill O'Sullivan, The Woodlands, Texas. I'd also like to speak to 14A. I have no objection to the cleaning and the bright marking of the runway, but I'm a little confused of why it's coming out of a certificate of obligation for 2012, which incurs debt. It would seem to me that a normal function of the airport is the cleaning of the runways and the maintenance of the lettering and the outlines. And I don't see why it doesn't go into the regular budget, which was submitted last September. And having these dollars sitting out there from 2012, like almost a slush fund you can draw into and incur debt, doesn't make sense to me. Second, I'd like to speak to the engineering contracts which were awarded. I understand that professionals, you have to have a certain degree of things that you, capability, before they're hired for a job. Now, in Alpine, Texas, that becomes very important. But here, you can throw a rock and probably hit 10, 20 engineers that can do the job. And I don't see how the public is served by not competing those jobs. You just have to value the engineers or whoever the professional is as to capability, and then they can compete. So the competition for the bid gets the public gets the benefit of it. Finally, I'd like to comment about Jim Clark and on the having a pre-hearing. I think it serves well, and if people put in for a specific items, that you defer that from the consent agenda for the following week. You discuss it and following meeting, and you discuss it so that the public can have an input on some way, shape, or form on items which concern them. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. O'Sullivan.
Thank you.
Anyone else who would like to address the court this morning? All right, moving forward. On item 11A, consider discuss and take appropriate action on the 2018 budget packet and 2018 budget projections. There was some confusion and some questions that some of our department heads had about what to do about filling existing positions that are vacant and what to do with requested positions in the upcoming budget. They were looking for some clarification from the court. Commissioners, any thoughts you might want to share with the department heads on filling vacant positions that they have or requesting new positions?
Well, my thought would be that if I'm a department head, I'm going to bring a budget to court. I would want to make sure that I was at least 5% under the 2017 budget, and that would be operating and personnel. So if you can make that commitment to being 5% under and fill a position, then I guess that makes sense. But if you're having to ask if you should fill a position, you probably know the answer. Maybe you shouldn't. Maybe it's not needed.
Well, we don't know. We don't know that. I have no idea what the vacant positions are, who's got them, or what they do. it may be something that they certainly need to do. I don't know. I guess we do every employee one-on-one right here. Are they talking about including their budget, or handle it then?
Yeah, as they submit their budget packets, they want to know, do we go ahead and fill the positions that we have now that we need, that some of them are needed right now? I would suggest that if they're needed, they probably should fill them.
That comes to court. Now, when they turn in their budget, if they feel that they have a vacant position that needs filling, put it in their budget, bring it in, we'll talk about it. I mean, that's the way it works. So.
That's a position that's been approved by this court. And if they're in need of that position, I would think they should.
Commissioner, Judge, there's also been a question whether it should be the current 2017 budget or the adopted 2017 budget for the 5%. Do you have a...
What now, Amy?
There have been questions from the...
5%.
Right.
I mean, I know it's coming from Commissioner Nowak, but the court has not given a directive that you come in here 5% under last year's budget.
Right.
We've not done that.
They're just wondering which budget they should be looking at, the adopted one or the current one.
Well, I'd say the adopted one.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Great. If they, you know, one of the suggestions that I made was that they present a budget that they feel absolutely is needed for their department, and what kind of cuts that would be forced if they did a 5% cut, how it would impact those departments with a 5% cut. I know some departments are going to have a very, very difficult time cutting 5%.
Can't do without cutting people, a lot of them.
You know, we have a very, very minimal operating budget in my department. County engineers, I think, Mark, is Mark here today? I think he said theirs was $15,000 a year in operating budget. The rest of it's all personnel. We can barely get plats out now. So those are the kind of things I think if they have a position they feel is absolutely needed, they should fill those positions, and then we'll work toward finding ways to make the budget work in budget session.
Dodie, do you have a comment?
Yes, sir. Some of the questions I've had is whether or not they can...
Can you go to the microphone so we can hear? Sorry.
Some of the questions I've had from department heads is whether or not they can ask for new positions and whether or not they can ask for positions to be upgraded.
Sure they can.
Okay.
They can ask. May not happen, but they can ask.
Okay.
They always ask.
And justification and showing the need. I mean, that's got to be paramount to us making that decision. So.
And I think in the current environment that they would take into consideration that it needs to be a very strong argument to ask and bring it before the court, and knowing that every position and every position upgrade that's requested does take a lot of time by HR and other departments to review and process. So it wouldn't be wise to seek an upgrade or a new position that is not, that you don't feel 100% comfortable coming up here and explaining why you need it.
So that being said, during the budget hearings, the department heads will have the opportunity to come up here and explain one-on-one.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And then the other question I had was, and I think you may have clarified it, Commissioner Nowak, is the 5%, is that just from operating or is it from the combined budget, operating and salaries?
I would say both, the 5% overall. I mean, we couldn't reduce, if the court chooses to try to reduce the current or the 2018 budget by 5%, you can't do it just operating alone. And so that may mean cuts in personnel.
Okay. Thank you.
Or open positions.
I would say just tell them, if they have a need, come and justify it. Certainly recommend it. All right. Item B, consider, discuss, and take appropriate action on presentation by Judge Jimmy Edwards on the Veterans Memorial Park. Judge.
Morning, Jimmy.
Good morning. Morning. How are y'all doing?
How are you?
Morning. I'm not here to ask for any money yet. Commissioners, I'm here on a pleasant duty. First of all, I would like to tell you that about 200 to 300 ladies in the Golden Needles of Montgomery County has quilted a quilt for Montgomery County's Veterans Memorial Commission. And we have asked the library director if she would keep the quilt there. We don't want to travel it around across the county. And by the way, I want to say that your director, Jerry Williams, has been extremely cooperative with us and working with us in our plans and our future toward this park. And we really appreciate that. I have a few members of the, as we're creating our directorship with the Montgomery County Veterans Memorial Commission, a few of them are here, and we are growing. We anticipate that we eventually will have 15 directors. I'd also like to announce that we are going to decommission the park in a formal military ceremony on November the 12th. That is Sunday afternoon. And if you might note that on your calendars, we anticipate a very good ceremony. We have been talking to a 3-star Lieutenant General in the United States Marine Corps to be our featured speaker and several other groups. And we're going to have groups from all across the county at present at this morning. I'd like to introduce some. You will know most of these people that are now members of our board. I'll start with Floyd Wayne Stewart, commander of the VFW Post 4709 here in Conroe, of a total membership of 1,800 people. He has joined our board. I'd like to introduce Melanie Kurtzinger. Melanie has also joined our board. She is, all of these people have been involved in charitable organizations, in different work all across the county. And when they come on board, they are committed to working on this park and also to avoid any conflict of interest and see what we can do in everything that we're doing on this park. I'd like to introduce from Willis. She comes from the auxiliary post of 618, the American Legion post. I asked them to pick someone that really would have a community knowledge, and they picked Georgiana Christopher. Georgiana happened not to be there that night. So she has come on board our board of directors. I'd like her to speak. Beside her is Judy DuRoy from the Woodlands. Judy has been very active in many organizations, many charitable work. She's very knowledgeable there. She grew up there. I watched her grow up. Some of you may well know her father. I'm sure you do. Her father was County Commissioner Ed Chance, who served on this Commissioner's Court for many, many years.
Great job.
And she, I think you appointed that devil, didn't you?
Mm-hmm. What's that?
I said, I think you appointed that devil, didn't you?
Yes, I appointed.
Thank you for that.
I appointed Commissioner Chance back in 84 or 85. That is correct. Also not present today, who's recently come on board, who's going to be a great asset to us, is the Mayor Pro Tem of Conroe, Texas, Duke Kuhn. Duke is also going to be serving on our board. So there will be several others. In fact, I was in Commissioner Clark's precinct for 2 days to talk to the lady in Roman Forest, the gentleman in Splendora, and the VFW down in Porter. And either two or three of those will be coming on board until I get final commitments, because I ask them, don't make your decision now, you know. Think about it, because you got a lot of work ahead of you. And so that's what we're doing. So here today, we want to present y'all with this quilt done by the Golden Needles. We will use it eventually in time, and we're going to raise money off of it. So basically, that's it. But y'all are going to be the safeguards until this time. So if the come forward and the members come forward. Jerry, we're going to give it to you.
Wow. That's
nice. They have all the different naval insignias, and why don't we turn around? I guess, hey, where do y'all want us? Like this?
Well, yeah, wherever.
Okay.
I'm in here.
Floyd, come on up.
Drop the quilt from the plate. I can see your face.
We'll hide behind.
Drop
over
the quilt. Oh, all right. Thank you. I know.
Beautiful quilt.
I think that our plan is to display this at the central library in one of the display cases, and the group is going to provide us with some documentation and information that we can put beside it, and then when they are ready to do fundraising, people will have a chance to just come to the library and see it in the display case rather than it being passed around to different locations.
That's a good idea.
We'll work with the group to have it available.
Thank you. I would also like the court to know that several commissioners and I will be making a trip to Austin soon. We're going to be talking to about four or five different state agencies to be able to assist us on this park financially and to help us also. Thank y'all very much.
Thank you, Jim.
Amy, do we need to accept the quilt? Some kind of formal? It'll work okay? Okay, good deal. Custodians.
Temporarily housing it.
Got it.
Now, y'all don't get to keep it.
All right.
Unless you win the raffle, I guess.
Constable, Precinct 3. Constable, good morning.
Good morning, Judge, Commissioners.
Good
morning.
Morning.
This morning, we'd like to ask 12A, consider and allow Constable Precinct 3 to slot a deputy hired for position number 55318-5910-2 as a 9-year deputy on the current step plan due to experience. Salary, benefits, and equipment to be funded by the Spring Creek Utility District, one of our contracts.
Good.
Move, and this will indicate that the no cost to the county, this is 100% funded by the contract.
That's
correct.
Correct. Second.
Have a motion and a second. Any questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you, Constable.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Okay. Precinct Constable, Precinct 4. Good morning.
Morning, Judge. Commissioners.
Morning.
How are you? Please accept the donation from the East Montgomery County Improvement District to Precinct 4 Constables for two fully equipped patrol bicycles.
Move.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Chief.
Thanks.
Conroe North Houston Regional Airport. Scott.
Morning, Judge, Commissioners.
Morning.
We have item 14A, consider and approve funds for surface cleaning of approximately 772,500 square feet, runway 1432, 340,000 square feet, runway 0119, and repainting of runway markings on runway 1432 at an estimated cost of $183,975. Funds are available from the 2012 Certificates of Obligation. I'd also like to recommend that there is a source available from airport prepaid lease revenue. I would just like to show you a couple pictures of what we're talking about. This first picture is the smaller runway, runway 119, that the black mold got so bad on it that we went ahead in March and did a cleaning operation and some remarking. What you see in that picture, you see that center keel section. That was untouched except for the remarking. The outboard sections, outboard of the keels, what we had cleaned because it was much, much blacker. And it looked, what you'll see in this next slide, which is from the runway that we're right now talking about. Runway 1432, there's one direction looking to the south. the outboard sections on both sides look like that. Here's another picture of looking north. That's the condition, and this condition on this runway really has come up since last fall and through the winter. You know, we submitted our budget in April, as you know, and you had our budget hearings with us in July, and I know you adopted your budget. It started in October. This is really over the winter that this has occurred on 1432. We were pretty shocked at the growth. We brought up...
And you sent emails explaining that.
Pardon, sir?
Sent emails explaining.
Yes, this project. And we brought up personnel from Intercontinental because they have concrete runways. They looked at that and said, yep, that's what we got. And I said, well, how do you treat it? And they said they looked at everything and they ended up with the stripe hog power washing is the only way they could adequately treat it. That's what they do. They sent me pictures of that actually in operation. That led us to go ahead and clean those sections of runway 119. We have a lot of other concrete on the airport. This picture here is to show you what we can do in-house with our people. We go out and rent a power washer, and we'll do some of these taxiway and ramp areas ourselves because it's a lot less expensive. But we're not capable, personnel-wise, to do our runways. We tie our people up for 6 months and take the runway out of service for that length. So that really is not an option. The only other comment I guess I want to make on this item is that this came to attention of TxDOT when they came out February 15th and performed an annual airport inspection. They do that on behalf of the FAA since we're a block grant state. And we had power washed at runway 119 and it looked great, and they remarked on that. But they marked us down on what's called our 5010 publication, which is what all the pilots see. For this next year, our markings went from good to fair because of that black mold. But I told the inspector at the time we were fixing to take care of that, and he said good, because if you go from fair to poor, then it can affect your instrument minimums and make it harder to get into the airport during inclement weather. So this is the justification for me bringing this to you outside of the budget cycle, because I really believe that we need to take care of this issue. The other thing I want to let you know is it's 8.5 years since 1432 was repaved. It's taken that long for this to happen. The other runway was 9.5 years. And just for some reason, it's just this last year or so that this has come up on both runways. We had not experienced that before. And I'm here for any more questions, explanation that you may require.
I don't think there's any doubt that this needs to be done. I mean, that's not anything that we're part of. I'm concerned that we need to talk about.
Motion, Commissioner? Is that a motion?
Yes, I'm a motion, certainly.
With funding from?
We can use, this has been through county attorney's office. It's been through the audit department. This CO money qualifies. The question came up, well, it may not last as long as the bond. I don't know the answer to that. It's been almost 10 years since we did it. If it lasts 10 more,
Scott, how
pretty
long?
Close to 20 years. So,
Scott, the restriping of the runways, how often do you do that?
That really will depend on these conditions, but a general answer is that we would do that about every 5 or 6 years.
And how much of the cost is restriping versus cleaning?
The restriping for 1432 is under our blanket purchase order. We estimate to be $44,107. And then we're also would want to complete centerline striping on the other runway, which is $3,421.
I think the easy answer to it would be to use the prepaid lease funding for this amount and then save the COs for the taxiways that we're doing next year.
Yes, Judge, we'll be submitting
that. It really doesn't matter. I mean, it's one out of one pocket or the other.
Right.
Depends on how you want to look at it. We can use prepaid lease money to pay for this.
My understanding is there's more than adequate funds available in the prepaid lease revenue.
Yeah.
The auditors confirm
and
that.
And the taxiway project is coming up soon,
yeah.
Probably.
Yes, sir. The initial, the preliminary engineering estimate on the taxiway project is $5.3 million.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be submitting a budget request for our 10% match.
Yeah. And it'll last as long as the bond.
Guaranteed.
Yes, sir.
I move money from prepaid lease.
Second.
Any other questions or comments, Commissioners?
Do you know, Angie, how much is in the prepaid lease account?
I don't have an exact balance.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Opposed.
Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thanks, Scott. Tax assessor collector.
Good morning, Judge, Commissioners. I would ask that you consider and approve transferring the following listed positions and salaries benefits from my department to the Central IT Department.
We have a motion.
Move.
I second.
Motion and a second. Any questions or comments?
What are we doing? Why are we moving from you to him?
The needs of my office have changed. over the last several years. We now have an automated software. It's not an in-house software like we had before. And this is something that Marshall and I have discussed since I've taken office. And the timing is right. And I would still have the allocated resources for the support in my department, but they would also be able to do other IT functions.
It'd still be in your, over to your office?
No.
Or they move to his office?
They would move
but
to his office.
But if you needed, you'd get kind of a proprietary treatment
yes.
on it? Okay. And you've got plenty to keep them busy, Marshall, in other areas?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed?
Opposed.
Motion carries.
Thank you.
Library.
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm here to ask your support for maintaining quality customer service for our library patrons. We have had two part-time positions authorized by the court. One is a 20-hour-a-week static position with regular hours at our central library. The second was a floater position. And the first position is filled. The second position has been vacant for some time, but we need that position filled because we do have a number of individuals who would fulfill public service activities, and those sessions either in the evening or on Saturdays or during our busy times are now being inadequately filled, or we are double timing with the same individuals having to serve two and three Saturdays a month, two or three evenings a week, and to be perfectly honest, it gets to a point that we're robbing Peter to pay Paul. And so the individual who is in the static position would be willing, if it were a full-time position, to cover both of the levels of responsibilities. But with the new EEOC guidelines, that person could not work 40 hours unless we have a full-time position. So I'm asking that you close those two part-time positions and open or create from those hours and from that compensation a single full-time reference position because we critically need those extra hours. And in Part B of this, we have identified with the assistance of the county auditor's staff funds in the allocated unspent salary line that would cover the insurance benefits if you allow us, as indicated in the supporting documentation, to move from compensation line to the employee insurance line.
What will be the net increase for next year's budget?
There would not be.
Won't
because
go up
we
at all.
Are taking it from the salary line, this
Good.
Would be inclusive.
Not for next year either in 2018?
No.
No. I move.
Second.
What's a floater position?
The floater position has been 20 hours a week. When we have a person on extended leave, right now at the Tullis branch, we have two ladies who are having to be away because they have a parent or a spouse who is in distress and they've been approved for family medical leave. We have a vacancy in the children's library position that we're working to fill, and so immediately we would send this person to the Tullis branch to fill in at least one of those evenings and the Saturday sessions. The same thing is true at the South Regional branch where we have a vacancy, and also we have an individual whose husband is in stage 4 terminal cancer at a location, and she is out on family medical leave, and we would use the floater to cover the sessions a portion of that time. I mean, you can't take 5 full-time positions and cover it with 20 hours, but we can alleviate the pressure on existing staff by having the floater go and cover the evenings and Saturday.
Unlike Stephanie Davenport, who returned money, you're going to have to pull some money out of some other positions to cover this cost?
No, sir. The only thing we're doing is taking it from allocated unspent salary funds.
From other positions,
because
correct.
We have replaced individuals who have retired or resigned with individuals who had less experience than the individuals who were in the position. The compensation for those individuals are a bit less.
So those positions were reduced in salary by
yes,
that?
Yes, sir.
And that's in a funding pool? You have it somewhere?
Correct.
Is that how that comes? To the other.
And in the upcoming budget, the two part-time positions will go away and the full-time position will stay?
The two part-time positions would go away at this time if you approve parts A and B and the funding to cover it.
Does library usage go up in the summertime more or down, or where does it go?
You betcha.
Okay.
We go from about 40,000 at the South Regional Library for attendance to 60,000. When all the youngsters are out from summer, we try to continue their interest in reading and literacy development. And so the youth, June, July, through our summer reading program are exponentially larger increases. And that's part of the reason for doing this right now.
Yes.
We're at a critical stage, and we're asking, rather than wait to budget time, we really need this before the summertime onslaught, as we say. We love having them, and we love working with the youngsters, but it does mean we have to be staged, and we have to have our public service areas covered.
Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Oppose.
Motion carries. 4-1.
Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Purchasing.
Good morning again. On 17A, take all appropriate action to approve the award for the following All-in-One motion. Approve the recommendation to qualify the following banks as a term contract for the financing rate for various items for various departments to Santander Bank, JP Morgan Chase, and U.S. Bancorp Government Leasing and Finance, Inc. as a term contract.
Move.
Request for proposal for disaster recovery debris. I'm sorry.
We just got a motion. We don't have a second yet.
You're excited, George.
That's good.
Yeah.
Motion and a second. Any questions or comments, Commissioner? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Okay. Request for proposal for disaster recovery management services for various departments as a term contract. This is for the debris removal. Our prime vendor is going to be Quad Gulf. Our first alternate is going to be Cirrus Environmental Services, and second alternate, DRC Emergency Services, and contract to follow.
Move.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Okay. Widening of Sendero Ranch. This is to award the bid for the widening of Sendero Ranch Road for Precinct 2, and the award is going to be for the option bid to Smith & Company in the amount of $2,509,177.52, and this was already reviewed by the Contract Review Committee and approved.
Who is the award winning?
Smith & Company.
Smith & Company?
Yes.
Okay.
Move. Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries.
On 17B, take out appropriate action to approve the contracts with the following highly qualified provider per Government Code Chapter 2254 as presented on the agenda.
Move.
Second.
Any questions or comments, Commissioners? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries.
George, before you leave, I have a question on when a bidder submits a bid, they go through the entire process and we go to award them. Do we look to see what other work they're currently doing in Montgomery County, and do they may have the bonding capacity to get the job, but do they have the personnel to do the job? Do we investigate that? Because with Smith & Company, for example, we just awarded them the Rayford Road contract as well, and I'm just thinking, do we put those together and make sure that they're staffed appropriately?
Normally, we don't, but depending on the project, you know, we go and inspect, make sure that they do have the correct amount of personnel.
You have to have a performance bond. We wouldn't know if they had 10 other jobs in 10 other counties.
Wouldn't know.
Yeah.
Right, thank you.
Okay, county attorney, real property.
Good morning, Judge, Commissioners.
Morning.
Item 18A1, approve order for the extension of all traffic rules applicable to Montgomery County roads to the privately maintained roads of the subdivisions governed by Walnut Cove Property Owners Association. The residents of Walnut Cove request this pursuant to Section 542.007 of the Texas Transportation Code. They have privately maintained roads. They want the traffic laws enforced in their community. The code requires consultation with the sheriff's office, and our office has reached out to the sheriff. This was deferred from April 11th to allow the POA to make edits to their petition. This won't have the roads accepted into our maintenance system. This is strictly for the enforcement of the traffic rules. The POA is requested this based on the governing body, which was, and this petition was signed by the POA president. So that's all I have for this item.
I move.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
All right, we need to recess our commissioner's court for public hearings in precincts 3 and 4.
Precinct 3, consider and approve establishing a 25-mile-an-hour school zone for time period 7:15 to 9 a.m. and 3 to 4:30 p.m. on Rayford Road from 375 feet west of Discovery Creek to 555 east of Waterbend Cove. Anyone here to discuss? No comments, Judge.
Commissioner.
Precinct 4, consider and approve establishing all-way stop control at Soaring Oaks Drive and Mountain Air Drive intersection. Is anyone here to discuss that?
No, Judge. Okay, I've seen none. I need to adjourn our public hearings and reconvene our commissioner's court. Are these both ready for action? Do we know?
I believe they are. They're put on my...
Yeah, mine is ready.
Right, okay. So if you want to...
I move. You want to take them together?
Together, yeah.
Move.
For 19A1 and B1. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Any questions or comments, commissioners? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Precinct 3.
Consider, discuss, and if appropriate, take action on projects and the selection process for phase 2 of the pass-through toll program. Judge, commissioners, I think it was a couple months back we had a meeting and discussed the pass-through toll program, and we're going to come back and bring potential projects. Jenny Terabarelli is here, and as you know, she's been managing that since day one for Montgomery County. If you could just tell us, Jenny, kind of the high level, how much is available in funding and what type of projects TxDOT is looking to get involved with in Montgomery County.
Good morning, Judge, Commissioners.
Good morning.
We did speak, and I think it's been more than a couple of months. I think maybe it was like maybe September of last year that we were talking about the remaining balance in the pass-through fund. And I know the auditor's office and I have worked back and forth to get the balances of where they are. And it's somewhere in excess of $60 million. I don't have a current number. I'd have to get with the auditor's office to see where it is. But
I think we're about $75 million.
So that's a significant amount of money. Some of that is money that's already been appropriated to Montgomery County in when we went after a little more funding for the 242 flyover project. That's one piece. So that's already been appropriated to Montgomery County by TxDOT, and so you wouldn't have to seek any further concurrence with them necessarily on how that money is used, as long as it's used on a system project.
There's still money available in that fund?
Yes, there is still money available in that fund because we didn't use all of it for the 242. And then there's the remaining balance of $56 million, I believe, that's at TxDOT on deposit that you would have to go to TxDOT and talk to them about you know, give them the list of projects, explain the justification for those projects. When I visited with them last, they obviously, you know, have, they want to see it spent on system projects. There's so much need that, you know, where in past years they may have had said, look, as long as it's a road that's connecting system projects or some off-system needs like off-system bridges that they fund from time to time, that would have been okay, but they feel like it really needs to go on needed system projects. They had talked about several projects that are currently in process with some funding. I know Commissioner Metter's 1097 project was one they brought up. They have some funding for it. They don't have total funding for it, at least in the last go-around. They just finished their UTP go-round, and so maybe it's gotten a little bit more money in the current go-round, but still there's not, probably still not adequate money to finish that project, which I know has been on your list since 2004, when we started all this. And I don't know, I feel like I've spent my whole career on the past 3 years. But
don't we have to, don't we get to have to accumulate around $100 million before that escrow account starts building?
Well, not necessarily. I mean, you know, it's, in fact, it's time. It popped up on my list this month that it's time to go to TxDOT and say, okay, we need to work on this year's reimbursements. You guys are at the maximum
payment. I think
this
next reimbursement will be the last.
Yeah, we'll be there pretty quick. I mean, we're just shades off of it.
Maybe it's time to start identifying projects.
Exactly.
I don't think any money's available.
I spoke with the executive director, James Bass, about this last year. He and I worked from day one on the pass through, and said, look, you know, it's time for them. They're concerned that money would stay with them, which is always a concern with the state, looking at, you know, trying to find every dollar they can make their needs. And he said, no, they're clearly aware that money's sitting over there, and he and his office would work with Montgomery County, you know, in first at the district to do project identification, and then on an agreement of how a payback could be structured, because you're not necessarily set to the payback for the remainder of the money that was set in the pass-through agreement. And, you know, there's several ways that the county could go forward and I think get much more favorable payback terms. For instance, you know, one of the things I believe you would recommend is reimbursement during construction. I mean, it's all going to, you know, have it go against, mm-hmm. you know, construction and be paid back during that time. They did that for a portion in the first phase. I think we took $33 million in direct construction reimbursements. As the county spent it, we submitted for reimbursement. So there are a lot of ways that you can look at this second round, and clearly each precinct probably has projects that, you know, they could put up that would be more than readily approved by TxDOT.
Commissioner Riley, I don't have a lot of
Precinct 3 is the exception.
TxDOT
right.
roadways, but one of the projects that I'd have an interest in working on would be 1488, having that widened from at least 2978 to 45 or from 45 all the way to your new Magnolia Bypass. And Jenny's done a little preliminary numbers on that. I think she said about $15 million for each leg, roughly.
Somewhere in that range. I mean, we'd have to look at the section from 45 to 2978. Since we redid that road back in, that was on the original list, and so much development has occurred from 45 to 2978, it boggles my mind. I drive that road all the time since I live off of 2978. Every day it seems like there's a new development going on. And so there's the one thing that we did back in 04, 05 through 10 when we finished 1488 all the way through to almost the high school, to Mauston Manor. You know, there's adequate right-of-way to add two more lanes. In fact, it's one of the projects that TxDOT brought up to me when I visited with them, saying, you know, well, you've got all that right-of-way. What are they going to do about 1488? Because the traffic has grown so tremendously And every year when we submit for pass-through, it's still the number one, it's the highest project as far as usage in the six projects that were done under the pass-through program. And so, we did just a quick engineering's estimate, taking if you were going to add a lane on either side to the same pavement structure that was put out in the first one, it's going to end up being 14-15 million for the section from 45 to 2978, then 2978 out to. You probably would take it a little further than Mauston Manor to tie in to the new construction.
I understand all the growth there, but you also got to understand that from Mauston Manor through Magnolia is total gridlock today, too.
Oh, it is.
It is a two-lane road.
Yes, sir.
I'm all for expanding roads, but I would love to get that section of 1488 done.
Right.
And then let's worry about adding two more legs somewhere.
No, I understand. You know, one of the things that you know, in each of these projects, Commissioner Metter in 1097, if he decided that was one that he would put up, clearly it already has environmental clearance and it's a shovel-ready project. The sections of 1488 that I just described, those are, you would probably have to do a categorical exclusion from an environmental, but that's a quick, and so that would be shovel-ready. Other projects like you're talking about, and I drove it the other night, I was bringing my granddaughter back from Austin, and we decided to take 14, or I decided to take 1488. It is, that section between Magnolia and the construction is just, I hate that section. It's you know, you feel pretty hemmed in on when you're coming through there. So,
and right but away it wouldn't be much of an issue.
The right away wouldn't be a big issue there either.
So, but you still have to do an environment. There was, there that part did have, it was under the umbrella environmental clearance that 1488 was done under at the beginning, because when we took over the pass-through, at that point, 1488 was being environmentally cleared from 45 to the Grimes County line. And so it's a potential that you would just have to do a re-eval on that and not a long four-year process on an environmental clearance like we see on other projects. So that could be something that could become shovel-ready, you know, in a quicker term. I mean, you have to still do design, which you don't have today for that section, but it may not take as long. And then I know Commissioner Clark has talked about several projects
Let me interrupt you.
Yes, sir.
I understand all what you're saying about
yes,
1488 all the way to 45 from Mauston Manor, I agree
mm-hmm.
with that. I'm telling you right now, from Mauston Manor to the county line and Waller County line is the most critical part of 1488 today, the west side of 1488.
Right. And like I said, I that was environmentally cleared under an umbrella clearance,
mm-hmm.
and you may be able to do a shorter re-eval of that
mm-hmm.
and be able to move it forward pretty quickly. So.
And I would ask you to do me a favor.
Yes, sir.
Next time you're looking at one of the roads in my precinct, would
yes,
you
sir.
Please let me know?
I appreciate that. I got a call Friday afternoon from Commissioner Nowak making me aware that an agenda item was on the agenda for today. And so he just said, you know, if we were going to do that, what would it take? And I just had my guys yesterday do a quick one, and I apologize for not checking in with you.
You don't have to check in. I just want to know.
Yes, sir.
The other potential project would be 242 in that area.
Which Texas also has on its list.
Exactly.
And I mean, 242 has been on the TxDOT list for a long time. And I don't know where they are in their development process. I know they had done worked on an environmental clearance on it for some time. I've not kept up with that one since we were focused more on the flyovers and not really what was happening on the widening of 242.
Where are we talking 242?
Really 1488 to 45.
You know, we're making intersection improvements at Goslin and Greenbridge.
Mm-hmm.
They're in the design phase.
Critical.
And that's going to help.
Yeah, that'll help.
Tremendously.
And we added some lane width As you come off of the flyovers, we added some lane widths around to facilitate ingress egress around Lone Star College to help on that side. And so, you know, but to your point, Commissioner, I mean, it is a road that is used pretty heavily to, you know, to facilitate a cut through to 1488 or come as a back door into the to the north side of the Woodlands. But I don't have a current update on where TxDOT is on its plan to do widening, because they had it on their tip and then they took it off a couple years ago. But then you're moving forward on some spot improvements up and down there.
Do you know when last time you spoke to us, you were under the impression that if we didn't make a movement on this money relatively soon, that we run the risk of it just being taken back to TxDOT coffers? So that's the whole reason
the
I'm trying to move this
ability.
Forward is I don't want us to lose this money in these projects or just some of many that could be considered.
They're well aware, though, that we're in need of those dollars and expecting those dollars.
That was the reason I spoke with
good that he was
executive.
On that project in the beginning, too, so
exactly.
He understands the history.
He did the finance. He was finance director at that time and so has stayed aware of it. He said, well, we hadn't heard from them. I said, well, you know, the way it was situated, it was sort of to hit that $100 million that mark, and we've gotten there as quick as we could, because we mm-hmm. always do it. We get there quicker than the payback terms outlined in the original agreement. And I said, but, you know, it's one of the fastest growing counties. They need that money. They don't need it swept away.
Right.
And he said, well, we would love to sit down and start working on that.
What about 242 east of 45? Is there any plans for, or is the Grand Parkway taking a lot of that traffic off?
You know, for a long time, TxDOT felt the Grand Parkway would be a congestion relief off of that section of 242. I know there has been a lot of talk and some work on improving the 1314 242 intersection, which sort of like your Gosling 242. It's a mess. And Commissioner Clark, I don't know whether you have had further conversations with them about the overpass at 1314 and 242.
We have, and they're doing some preliminary work. Matter of fact, they're getting some wrap material moved and doing some testing out there right now. And we were wanting to look at that additional. The stub out for the flyover is already there from 45 to 242 east.
Yes, sir.
We made that commitment.
Yeah, and we're trying to make
and that's one of the ones that
coincide with that project, because the two new hospitals coming there,
right?
You know, we're going to need that traffic relief and that particular. You know, here again, only time I'm in favor of a toll is when there's a free option, not forcing somebody to pay a toll. And that would be a free option for folks traveling home in the evening time. So,
I mean, if you look at the condition,
we're down to 2 minutes on our tape, too, Commissioner.
Okay. If you look at the condition of the feeder road right now. In front of Methodist Hospital. I mean, you know, 6 years ago, it was backed up to Portofino. It's been relieved right now because of the flyovers, because you've taken more traffic off of the, you know, up of the flyovers and off of the feeder road. But that's going to change as those hospitals go.
We're out of tape.
Okay.
All right. Let's take a 5 minute recess and we'll be back when they change
tape
the tape.
Things getting shorter.
Any longer
shorter
tape.
Every week.
Let's bring the court back to order, please. Jenny, had just a couple more questions. You had mentioned a while ago that the initial money that we drew down for the 242 flyovers.
The additional, yes, sir.
Yeah, there's still money in that reserve, but we could use that for any project we choose. I mean, the TxDOT's not, they don't want input.
Well, you're being reimbursed that just like you were being reimbursed any of the other $100 million.
It's a reimbursement to
it's
us.
It's a reimbursement to you, and so from that standpoint, just like that $100 million is not how you use that $100 million, that's up to the court, whether you use it for debt service, whether you use it for further projects.
Okay.
So for that piece, you wouldn't necessarily have to get their concurrence. Now, if you're going to use it on a state road project, there's still coordination from that standpoint, but not concurrence. Now, the remainder of it, you would definitely have to get concurrence. And TxDOT may see it a little bit differently, but I mean,
if we chose to use the balance that's in there now on a non-state system project, we could do that?
Sure, just like, I mean, you're getting, you know, you're getting a hundred and, what's the reimbursement? I have to think about a second.
So
$17 million in reimbursement, and
yeah,
you could take that and use it however you wanted to do, and so it was just put in as reimbursement.
We've been servicing the debt.
Yeah, and that'll be all paid off in 18, and but we did draw down about $10 million from debt service fund balance when we refinanced and paid that debt off.
So
those are court decisions, but in principle, as you spent money and the state reimbursed you, what this court decided to do with that money was a court decision.
But that service fund balance was set aside
too
for
high.
That. This is that $20 million that we drew down for the 242 flyover.
Right, which we used part of it, about half of it.
About nine and a half.
Right.
Yeah, so that money is usable at our discretion.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Because we just increased, instead of $98 million something or other that you would gotten from the first round, we just made that 118, and that's what you'll get back in this first go round. And so then what's left on deposit as encumbered money for Montgomery County through the pass through program is the $56 million.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
We could make a motion to divide that $10 million by four for the precincts to use on road projects.
But yeah, that's above my pay grade.
I'm just talking.
But it's available though. It doesn't
yeah.
have
but
to
but
necessarily
as it comes
be on
back
project.
In, right? As it comes back in from the state, it's available to you.
Okay.
Okay.
And I didn't have an opportunity to run a number. Like I said, it's time to start coordinating with TxDOT again about this year's payback. Last year they had made the change where Montgomery County had done the traffic counts on all of those up until last year. The state, because of some issues on other pass-through programs, they decided to take over the counts.
Mm-hmm.
The only difference is that we pull counts for them off the data collections for the flyovers, and we provide that for them, so they have a 360-day count for the flyover projects, and then they do the counts on the remainder projects, and then we have worked with them to audit it on behalf of the county, make sure y'all are getting what y'all need to be getting, and then work with the engineer's office for him to sign off and move forward. So it's time for that to happen again, and otherwise, if you wait for TxDOT to call you, it'll be August before they call you and say, oh yeah, we owe you some, we need to start working on this. And it's a couple month process anyway from the time we start to the time that we turn in that invoice. So
is your contract current to keep you?
No, we've been out of contract for a couple years now, but as a courtesy to Montgomery County, we've handled it for you guys and kept Mark Mooney in the loop of what we were doing for
get with Mark and have a new contract submitted.
Yeah, we could do that, but it's certainly something that since we have
works.
We never wanted to leave you guys in the lurch from that standpoint, and since we knew more about it than anyone else, we felt like us pushing TxDOT to do what they needed to
Has
do.
Has there been any other, and I've not followed all the pass-throughs across the state, has there been any others that have worked as well as this one did?
Probably the only one that's worked as closely to the, well, all of them got roads done. I mean, this was a large one,
and
the other two that were almost as large as this was Williamson County was almost as large as Montgomery County, and we do some work up there. It was a very successful program for them. Their payback wasn't as favorable as this one was. The other one is Titus County, which we also did. They $166 million for a tiny county in East Texas. It was a huge boost to them, and from a way that it changed the community. It really is amazing what it did up there. And it cost them a 9-cent tax increase when they went out for their bonds, but their roads were so necessary, they didn't have a choice. And so there have been few that really have made an impact, but Montgomery County still got the best payback of everyone. It always helped to be first. That's what we all talked about back in 2004 when we started
this. Yeah, we were going to be the hero or the goat on that one.
Yeah.
It turned out pretty good.
So. Yeah, it did, good. Amazingly.
Good. Okay.
Thank you, Jay.
Certainly.
Right.
Do you, Judge, do we want to have people come back with projects? I mean,
I would.
Or really, we could discuss how to allocate that, all of it, you know, the via projects, the $10 million, what maybe in the next quarter, a couple of quarters after this, we
I'd
put
say,
it back
say
on
at least give it a month or so, Commissioners, to put together a list of projects to be thinking about and come back and get some ideas that we can start kicking around. Because I'm like Jenny, I think if we don't go ask for it, we run that risk.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So give it a month, within a month or so, you want to bring a list back start for consideration, Commissioners?
Yeah. And I, believe it or not, I agree with Commissioner Nowak here.
All right.
You do need to update your contract. I mean, we're fixing to get back in this deal. You got all the history, you know, the where the bones are, you know, where the bodies are buried. I wish you would get a new contract on file.
That's probably like
I agree. Okay.
All right. So in a month, we'll look at a list of roads. Precinct 4.
Okay. Consider and approve increasing the salary from position number 615-8902-1, senior foreman, to $75,000 per year beginning April 22nd, 2017, prorated amount of $3,405. 0.77 associated benefits would be funded from attrition and would not increase the budget for the fiscal year 2017. I move.
Second.
Question.
Basically, what this is Commissioner, I mean not Commissioner, but Constable Hayden had come to me with a situation of his vehicles needing maintenance. And number one, we were paying full retail for outside shops and outside work. The real big problem was is the turnaround time of these vehicles being off the road for an extended period of time. We hired this gentleman. He's ASC certified, got several certifications. He brought about somewhere between $50,000 and $20,000 worth of diagnostic equipment that belongs to him that's being utilized by the county. He was promised when he was hired this would be a six-month pilot program. If the program worked out, we would increase the salary to $75,000, so it was done at the time of hire.
You're comfortable with doing a raise midterm?
Judge, when it's promised and up front, you know, this it's you know it's not a raise, it's what he was promised. Do this all the time. You know, somebody gets a 90-day bump, it comes in, it stays, you know, it's
it all the time. But all right, any other questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Opposed.
Aye.
No.
Motion fails. 3-2. All right, we now recess our Commissioner's Court for executive session under Article 551071 and 551074.
Out of executive session. So. Move with
adjourn. Second.
Well, is there anyone that wanted to address the court? Okay. Motion to adjourn. Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Yeehaw. I had no idea.